Alan Ashby. I remember Alan Ashby. Do you remember Alan Ashby?
Alan Ashby. Can I? I don't want to be too glowing. I love Alan Ashby. I guess that's glowing enough. Mm-hmm. Alan Ashby is the favorite. My favorite person I've ever worked with, who's still alive. Can I say that? Is right there, 1 and 1A with Cheek. But yeah, Alan Ashby is easily the best.
And Mr. Ashby joins us from Houston. How you doing, Alan?
My gosh, I'm a whole lot better right now than I was a minute ago.
Oh, shucks. And then you know that.
And then you get to talk to me, so it's all going downhill.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff, for moderating things here. Yeah, you know what? I'm thrilled to be with you guys. And I love the whole thing from Toronto. Mike, of course, one of my great buddies, and Jeff. And just say it's good to be with you guys. Thanks.
By the way, I was going to tell you that they've really started to go overboard on the bread pudding in the press box at the Rogers Center.
Yeah, and they've added like graham crackers and marshmallows to it now.
It's tremendous.
Well, that's really a shame that they waited till I was gone, but yeah, we'll make it happen somewhere in the future, I hope.
Yeah, absolutely. Alan, of course, famous for filling up the soft drink container with bread pudding at the Rogers Center. The only reason I know that is because I was doing the same thing. Alan, the Astros getting ready to welcome the Blue Jays for 4 games. First thing I wanted to ask you about, it is a trade deadline. The Astros seem to have a lot of cost-effective relief pitching and a lot of cost-effective starting pitching. That's something that 27 teams at least in Major League Baseball are interested in getting. What's your sense of what the Astros do at the deadline?
I don't really have a great sense about any of it. You know, it's a ball club that has had its struggles, and they're allegedly the young team that's up and coming, and you hope that's the case all the time. And therefore, you want to keep some of the young pitching. There's some starting pitching on this team that I would love to be able to keep, guys like Dallas Keuchel, who pitched another complete game yesterday, and Colin McHugh, and Jared Cozart, who I believe is Cozart pitching tonight.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I'm out. We just were buying peaches and watermelon, and so I'm deep into the baseball mode at the moment. There's some nice young pitching on the team, starting pitching-wise. And then the back end of the bullpen is a little bit older with Chad Qualls, who's 35 years of age. I could see some teams having an interest in right now. Tony Sipp has been great in the back end of the bullpen. And a younger fellow by the name of Josh Fields, who has a great arm. But those would probably be the main names that teams would be looking at. I don't know that Scott Feldman is going to draw a lot of interest right now. He signed a 3-year big contract with the Astros at the start of the year. So, you know, that always comes into play as well.
Alan, tell me a little bit about how the fan support is with the team, the way they've struggled the last couple of years in Houston.
It certainly could be better. We're among the lower attendance drawing teams in Major League Baseball, a little over 20,000, I think about 22,000 a game. It could be a lot better. And it used to be a very good baseball city. Football rules, but it you know, people say it rules in Texas. It rules everywhere in the states.
Mm-hmm.
But if you win, if you play winning baseball, I think we can get the crowds back up over 30,000 here. But winning still is kind of that elusive light there at the end of the tunnel.
Right.
I want to ask you about, Alan, a couple of the guys that you mentioned, because the Blue Jays are definitely going to be players for relief pitchers today and into August too, but obviously it's going to be tougher to make a deal for a guy like a Josh Fields or even a Tony Sipp in August, because they don't make any money. What do you see in Fields? And secondarily, Chris Carter's name has been mentioned. And while the Blue Jays did pick up Nolan Reimold and Danny Valencia to be lefty mashers, Chris Carter is serious lefty masher who doesn't make any money either and who would be very attractive over here.
Yeah, you know, Mike, and by the way, it's just great to hear your voice.
Oh, come on, you guys, enough of it already.
You know,
it goes even more for me.
You have to start cleaning up around here with all the slobbering, for God's sake.
You, Blair.
Go ahead.
Okay, so Chris Carter is a guy a month ago I couldn't even imagine somebody saying they have an interest in, but he's just a really intriguing guy. Good guy. He can mash when he gets it going. He has shortened his stroke here recently, and it seems that it has turned him into a little better overall hitter. He's got great natural power, big guy, and he's had a great month of July. And so when it all comes together, I can now see teams saying, you know what, this guy could potentially be a huge answer for us. So, you know, I find him highly intriguing, and I understand interest for any ball club that is looking for a big right-handed bat. I think you mentioned John
Fields, yeah.
Yeah, 94, 96 mile an hour fastball kind of guy, right over the top, has that kind of riding four-seamer that hitters swing under. He's come up with a changeup that has made his fastball even better. He's got a nice over-the-top curveball. This guy's legit. I could see him as a closer anytime soon.
Alan Ashby joins us in Baseball Central. Alan, Mark Appel pitched last night
five innings of two-hitter?
Yeah. And I wanted to ask you about the whole situation with Mark Appel throwing in the Astros.
Before you do,
bullpen.
Peter Gammons is reporting Joe Kelly and Alan Craig to the Red Sox for John Lackey.
There you go.
That's kind of a wow.
Mm. That is a wow.
Wow.
Okay,
see?
So there you go. Joe Kelly and Alan Craig for John Lackey. At least it's not Oscar Tavares. Appel's at Corpus Christi, and I wanted to ask you about the whole scenario that saw him throwing for Astros coaches and managers and executives in the bullpen in Houston. That seemed to create a real issue among the Astros players. Can you tell us a little bit about that situation? Because it appears as if the Astros are just having all sorts of trouble right now whenever it comes to anybody that's a draft pick.
Mark Appel was number one. He was the 1-1 a year ago. And, you know, great anticipation with a 1-1. You know, there's always going to be the organization aiding the guy along, hoping he gets there more quickly than other guys. It's just a big thing to be that first-round pick, especially the 1-1 guy. And he had a miserable start to his year at A-ball. He was playing in the Cal League. He was playing in a windy Lancaster ballpark that, you know, was deemed to have been causing him great problems. I'm dealing with traffic. I apologize. Mm-hmm. But, so nothing went well. ERA, I think, was close to the 10 mark. And therefore, you know, players, this is nothing new. This is not unique to the Astros. This has been forever in this game. Players talk. They know what's going on. And when a guy like Mark Appel then gets moved up to AA with the season he's been having to this point, a season which also included spending a month or more down at the spring training facility to get himself capable of throwing. I mean, there were the doubters amongst the players, and of course they started talking as soon as he got called up. And you can understand numbers-wise and everything why that might take place. Of course, the organization's stance is you guys have your own problems to worry about, start dealing with your own issues before worrying about other guys. So it's an age-old scenario, and I saw nothing to it other than the fact that it's intriguing to the fan. And that bottom line is my story on my take on the whole deal. It's just one of those things that will never cease in this game.
I got to ask you, Alan, in the couple of minutes before we let you go, the Houston Astros, I don't know if they have the reputation or if they're pushing their own reputation as being the smartest organization in baseball.
Yeah.
They're very analytics heavy. They shift all the time. We're gonna see some neat stuff, which could go one way or the other, over the course of the next 4 days. Does what happened in the draft this year change that at all? Or, is it still a group that thinks they're smarter than everybody else?
Oh, wow. I have no answer that I have plenty of answers, but I can't give you any. It's delicate and dangerous when that image is portrayed to other people, I think. And I don't know how to respond to be fair to everybody involved, but that is the image that seems to be prevailing out there. And, It hasn't worked out in terms of wins. And I guess for me, when things are working with wins, that's when you seem to have done things better than other people. And I'll I'll just leave that at that. But this year's draft, you allude to, Mike, with Brady Aiken, the number one pick, as left-handed pitcher out of San Diego, did not wind up signing. Had some issues apparently, and there's a lot of secrecy going on with his x-rays, MRI on that left elbow. And we'll see. I mean, UCLA wound up with what some people joked around with as a stronger draft than maybe the Astros this year, as Brady Aiken goes there. And I think one of the other guys, maybe even two, that wound up not being able to sign with Houston. And so, you know, it's a tough scenario. But if Brady Aiken winds up never pitching in the big leagues, it will have been probably a very wise maneuver. I don't know, honestly, enough about this to make much sense of it. But when it's all said and done, a team that lost 111 games a year ago wound up with not only failing to get its number one pick, but some that followed in the draft.